Good morning. My name is Wes. I'm one of the elders at this church. This is my wife, Kim. I'm a lucky man. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Tammy Suter, who is Canada's Disaster Relief Manager with Samaritan's Purse International. And she's going to be sharing something about who they are, what they do, what they're going to do in this community. And then she will also be sharing introducing some of her people. Tammy, let's give her a hand.
The week getting set up in the camp, and some of you came to training yesterday. Great to see you this morning. And like Wes said, my name is Tammy Suter, and I get the privilege of serving as the Canadian Disaster Relief Manager for Samaritan's Purse. Who knows Samaritan's Purse? Oh, I love it. Did you know we did disaster relief in Canada? How many knew that? Way less hands. All right, well, we do. Most of us know us by the shoeboxes, which is our big ministry that we do here in Canada. But we do disaster relief across Canada. We've been doing it for over 20 years. And I have been in this position for 9 years. And I praise the Lord every day because it is my sweet spot, is what I love to do. And there's something special when you get to just really live out your faith in really practical ways to serve other people. And that's what we get to do each and every day as we're on the field and away from our families. And I've got a wonderful team that is with me. If you guys will stand at the back there, those of you that have joined me today from Samaritan's Purse. So we've got Tracy and Jim. They're doing some assessing for us and have been with us for many, many years. Phil Pavey is our arborist, and he's going to take care of some of those trouble trees. Martin Mywart is our very talented skid steer operator, and will be working in clearing and working with some of the trees as well. And then Lauren Morgan is my operations coordinator here for this response. And these are our men and women who volunteer and go with us disaster after disaster, year after year. And so we have another 6 people coming in today, another assessor, another team lead, and we have 2 chaplains. We work with the Billy Graham side as well. They join us on the field, and they send chaplains when we're working, and just to help homeowners just talk through and deal with some of the stuff that they're going through. So, elephant in the room, who is there anybody in here who has lost their home? I know. Well, I really hope that we can serve you and help you. And our goal in this community is to really bring the community together and serve one another. That's our goal. That's our heart, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community, to serve you, to serve your neighbors, and to show what Christianity is all about. You know, we don't want to just walk the walk. We want to talk it, and we want to live it out amongst our neighbors and our friends and family. And so we're going to be here. We just set up in the park. Wes has been a great help getting us all set up over there, and we appreciate that. He even bought us a door yesterday or the day before, and now we get to go in and out of our tent with much more ease than zipping up zippers up and down. So we appreciate that. But we'd love if you'd help us get the word out. We're looking for volunteers. So people that can help and come and sift. Let me explain the work that we're going to do. So whether you have insurance or don't have insurance, one of the things that we can offer into that is sifting into your home. And lots of people might look at their home and say, there's nothing left. And there might not be anything left. But it is amazing what we can find. And, you know, things that might not have been the most important thing to a homeowner before the fire those things that we can find become a really important treasure for them to move forward. And it's all part of the healing process that happens and to be able to move forward and rebuild or whatever that looks like for people. And so this is a really important process. We did some training yesterday, and many of you were with us, and we use a level C PPE gear. We get all dressed up. We look like aliens. We're in Tyvek suits. We've got respirators, goggles, glasses, all that stuff, and we promise to take very good care of you if you're volunteering with us. But we'll go into that, and we'll start to sift through the ashes to try and find, you know, little treasures that people are hoping that maybe have survived the fire, things that maybe have been handed down from generations or, you know, from grandkids or whatever the case might be. And so that's what we're going to do for anybody that wants that. If there's people that do not have insurance for whatever reason, I know it can get expensive depending where you live, it's not offered, some of those things. And so we want to just figure out how we can wrap around those people a little bit more. And so for those cases, for people that have insurance, insurance is going to come, they're going to clean the property, they're going to take care of the trees, they're going to do all that stuff. But those that don't have insurance are left to deal with that on their own. And so that's where we really want to come in, and we want to help with the problem trees. That's why we've got our arborist here. We want to be able to help clear your lot. We're working with the CSRD to figure out what debris management is going to look like and where we're going to put it. And so that will hopefully we'll have some answers on that this coming week. But we can even just pile it. I know there's a metal guy that will come and pick up the metals. So we can help divide that stuff and pile it in piles and figure out what we're going to do with it there. Even if we can clear it enough that homeowners can just start to figure out how they're going to start to put their land together or what they're going to put on there to be able to live. Okay, and so we want to be able to help in that way as well. So those are some of the other services that we're offering. Obviously, we're a volunteer organization, but my site leadership team, which is affectionately called SLT, so if you hear that around, that's who we're talking about, is these guys over here. We spend a lot of time in training and coming together. We train every year. We're out in the field all the time, and so these guys know all the safety protocols and everything that we need to follow to keep the homeowner safe, to do a really good job, and to keep you safe as volunteers. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to just really care for people. And so we would encourage that. We want to have those conversations. We want to sit and listen to stories and just help people walk through what they've gone through. And we also understand that your community looks very different than it did. And so even if you haven't lost, you know, maybe a home, your community has changed, and we're well aware of that. And so if there's things that you guys need to talk about or, you know, come visit us at our site, our chaplains are fantastic. You know, we want to just really care for you guys as a community as well. And then as we care for one another in this community, in this church body, you know, my hope and my prayers that will trickle out into the community and we can care for others in a really tangible way and really have good conversations and just come alongside. And so that is our goal in being here. And we partner with the church. This is what we do. We have, you feel free to come and see us and have a look at our setup over in the park. They've given us that space, which is fantastic. We take up a lot of space. It was a little bit more than you had here. But we're partnered with you here. We partner with the church. And so come see us, come visit us, talk with us. If you know of people that need some help, I know I've given Wes some of the door knockers. They've got the numbers there that they can call. They can come and see us and stop in, whatever that looks like. And hopefully we can get this done sooner than later before it gets really cold because we're intense. So we want to make sure we're serving people well. But encourage, if you've got friends, neighbors, family that have been affected by that and they need some help, sometimes it's hard for people to ask. And so I would encourage you, you know, if they need some help, come with them. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And allow them to come and talk with us and create a work order. We'll create that work order. The assessors will go out and assess it, and then the team leads will work on it with the volunteers that we get. So we are a really well-oiled machine. We've been doing this for a long time. But we can't also do it without you guys and without the volunteer and without the backup of the church. So we want to make sure that we're partnering with you guys. And, you know, and we're hoping that in the midst of this, you know, as people come to see faith in action, that they'll start asking questions. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why? You know, our team comes from all over Canada. And, you know, we were in New Brunswick this spring. And we did an interview with one of the homeowners there, and he was not a believer. But he said, why would you come across Canada to sift my ashes? And it causes people to question when they get to be cared for and they get to be loved with no strings attached. It starts to turn in people's hearts and minds and saying, there's got to be something more. You know, why are they doing this? And our answer is because God loves us. God allows us to do this, and we want to live that out practically. We want to show you that God loves you. And so that's the ministry that we get to be involved in. And we would welcome you to join us in that, and let's see what God does in the community around us. So if you have any questions, our guys are in shirts at the back there, and feel free. We can chat after the service a little bit. And again, throughout the week, if you've got questions or you've got questions, concerns, whatever, you bring a friend in, come and see us at the rig and at the camp over there. All right? Thank you and bless you.
Thank you. I'm a hummer. Sitting down will perhaps help me get through this. My text today draws on actually several passages of Scripture. And when I was young, I would only underline the parts that I liked. Like the first part here, I wouldn't underline, and then I would underline the second part. Are any of you like that? The thought of my pain, my homelessness, is bitter poison. I think of it constantly, and my spirit is depressed. Yet hope returns when I remember this one thing. The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continues. Fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise, the Lord is all I have, and so in Him I put my hope. It was winter 1919, more than 100 years ago, and 16-year-old Henry, who many years later would be my grandfather, watched in horror as communist anarchists rode on horseback into his village with swords and pistols. Within an hour, all the villagers, all of his friends were dead, including Henry's entire family. Only Henry and a little girl survived, she with a horrible sword wound on her head. All homes and structures were burned. Young Henry became an orphan instantly, with absolutely nothing. My grandfather's life verse was Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Thereafter, he suffered from severe depression, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But part of his healing was a choice. He chose the way of Jesus, which is the way of forgiveness. And time also brought substantial healing. For many years, Henry Regeer was pastor of the Steinbeck MB Church in Steinbeck, Manitoba. I'm so thankful that the Word of God is truthful, realistic, hopeful, and the Word of God does not avoid the difficult subjects. Consider what the psalmist writes. I am terrified, and the terror of death crushes me. I am gripped by fear and trembling. I am overcome with horror. I wish I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and find rest. The beautiful image of wings like a dove is a picture of beauty, peace, rest, and recovery. Felix Mendelssohn set this to music. It's just gorgeous. How many of you long for this beauty, peace, rest, and recovery? In Psalm 41, verse 7, the psalmist tells God that chaos roars at me like a flood. Are you feeling any chaos within yourself or in the community? I have felt such chaos. Sometimes people try to bottle up these feelings, and that can slow the healing process. It's healthy to be honest about how you are feeling about yourself, about others, and about God. During our 12 years of full-time service as missionaries in Ukraine, starting in 2012, Kim and I worked with widows, orphans, victims of war, internally displaced people, wounded soldiers, and professional musicians. What an unusual mix, don't you think? Every Saturday, my wife taught Bible lessons in two groups, each group more than 200 widows. Every Saturday, it was my favorite time of the week to see her flourish as a Bible teacher and to see the widows eagerly listen. I was president of a large Christian mission in Ukraine and also conductor of the Kiev Symphony Orchestra and chorus. But 2012 is when Russia began to invade Ukraine. Through a ministry that we started in Kiev Central Military Hospital, which included access to the ICU, I saw horribly wounded human beings, a lot of suffering, dying, and death. I won't elaborate on what I saw. War is terrible. I invited specialists in trauma healing to train my Ukrainian staff, and their ministry touched many hearts. And then Kim became very sick. These things, plus others, contributed to my own delayed PTSD that really hit me when I got back to Canada. PTSD is real. Symptoms vary. My PTSD included depression. My amazing wife, time, my faith in Christ, and professional care have helped me with some substantial healing. What I'm sharing this morning draws heavily on what we learned from the specialists who trained my staff in Ukraine. Dr. Jim Cunningham, Paul Esterbrooks with Open Doors, and other professionals with the Norwegian and American Bible Societies. Another symptom of PTSD can be anger. Are there any angry people here in North Shuswap? While anger is not necessarily evil, it can turn into something that is evil. Ephesians 4, verse 6 says, "Be angry and sin not." That's an interesting verse. Be angry and sin not. There's a type of anger that has been called righteous indignation. For example, Jesus was angry when he turned over the tables of the money changers. But there can be something very unhealthy about anger, and at some point, anger and bitterness can actually destroy a person. Are you angry? Is it possible that God is saying to you, let go? I have something better for you. Let go. I have something better for you. Forgiveness is something we are commanded to do, but it's not easy. Forgiveness is not the same as trust. Forgiveness is not the same as trust. Biblical forgiveness does not demand that the offender must apologize. Forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. Forgiveness and justice can coexist, but it's not easy. We have experienced an enormous trauma in our community, and feelings such as depression, anger, sadness, fear, panic, sorrow, anxiety, numbness, exhaustion, irritability, worry, and sensitivity to smells, sounds, and sights associated with the fire are present. If you feel any of these things, you're not alone. It's okay to have these feelings. For those experiencing any of these things, it's healthy for you to share these feelings with a good listener, someone that you can trust. And there are such people with us here now. Sharing these feelings with someone you can trust can be a healthy step in healing. You may ask, how can I calm these strong emotions? After a traumatic event, you may experience strong emotions, perhaps like never before. And there may be triggers that ignite these emotions. If possible, stay away from the triggers. Here are a few immediate ways that may help to calm these emotions so that they do not control you. When strong emotions arise, take control and do something small that engages your mind in a different direction. It could be a walk, a game, a chat with a friend, a prayer, a hobby, reading a favorite passage of scripture. Or here's one to try if you can't sleep. People have told me that they're having a difficult time sleeping. Close your eyes. Try it even now. And imagine a perfect, peaceful scene. Yes, close your eyes and concentrate on all of the beautiful details. In your mind, paint that perfect, peaceful scene. You may wish to include Jesus in the scene. Try it. You might fall asleep in the middle of the sermon. Here's another one. Some of you will think this is silly, but it really works. Try it. Put your hand on your chest. Put your other hand on your tummy. And we're going to practice slow, deep breathing in a quiet place for a few minutes, several times each day. So take a big breath. Your chest shouldn't move. Your tummy should go out. And then let it out. Your chest shouldn't move. Your tummy should go in. Take another big breath. Your tummy should go out. Your chest should stay still. And let it out. Your tummy should go in. Okay. And then do it again. Big breath. Relax. Tummy should go out. Now, if I did that with you 10 times, some of you would start to hyperventilate and you'd get dizzy and you would go to sleep in a different way. But to do this a few times each day, but especially if you feel a panic attack, can be very, very helpful. I've worked with some of the top professional musicians in the world. Many of them, just before we walk on stage, that's exactly what they do. It's like a cleansing breath process. It takes away tension. It's very, very helpful. We have experienced an enormous disaster in our community, and there are practical things, not short-term things, but practical things that may help you recover more quickly. First, take care of yourself. Eat, sleep, exercise, and rest well. More exercise than normal might help you to reduce stress and allow you to sleep better. But I know enough of you that some of you have been exercising way too much in recent weeks fighting the fires. Secondly, connect with others, especially a few calming people that have a positive influence on your life. Isolation will likely slow your recovery. Where possible, avoid circles of bitterness. Third, be willing to ask for help and accept help from others. Allow others to love you. Our church, Christian Aid, Samaritan's Purse, are here to help and support you. Fourth, especially with children, re-establish routines. If you are traumatized, it's likely your children are traumatized also, but in different ways. Read with your children. Sit with them as they color or draw to express their thoughts and feelings. I could say much more on this. Fifth, complete small, enjoyable projects, one at a time. This can help restore a sense of calm and order, one step at a time. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, it's very hard. Six, avoid past addictions or potential new addictions, especially during times of trauma. Seventh, be honest about your feelings and share them with someone who is a good listener. You've noticed I've been repeating that numbers of times. Eight, rejoice in some positive things. For example, no lives were lost. No lives were lost. Ninth, rebuild. Have you seen the new grass that's growing? Yeah. Set some reasonable goal for the future. Choose hope for tomorrow. And tenth, rest in the love of God. His mercies are new every morning. This is a difficult one. In a trauma, some look for someone or something to blame. This is a way of making sense of what happened, but it may not be the most helpful way towards a healing process for you personally. In our North Shuswap situation, lightning, drought, dry fuel, wind, poor judgment, human error, poor communication may have all contributed to our trauma. There is nothing wrong with participating in a review process. I myself have spoken with officials and I have written the premier. But taking a prolonged bath in the blame game will likely not help you in your personal healing process. In a trauma, some feel guilty that they suffered less than others or they didn't suffer at all. This is a common response and is an unnecessary form of guilt. In a trauma, some may feel ashamed about their emotions and feelings. Each individual will respond to trauma in their own unique ways, and that's okay. Share your feelings with someone who will listen and care. That's important for your personal healing. And if necessary, seek professional care, as I did, or care from someone experienced in trauma healing, as I did. In a trauma, some may be embarrassed that they need to accept helpful support from others. There is no need to be embarrassed. You did not cause this trauma. Allow others to love you. Some of you will be experiencing PTSD as a result of multiple things. For example, the actual fire, concern for loved ones, fighting the fire, loss of property, home and income, legitimate questions about what went wrong, questions about where was God in all of this, and previous health conditions. In this illustrative list, any one of these seven things can be overwhelming, but when they pile on top of each other, they can be crushing. If this is your situation, and I know for sure there are a few, this is your situation, there's a thought process that some have found to be helpful. Imagine a large container with a door or lid that can be closed. List each of your concerns or questions on a piece of paper. There were seven things in the example that I gave you, but your list will be different. Then you put the pieces of paper into the container and you actually close the door. You're not burying the concerns or the questions. That would be unhealthy, but you are temporarily putting them a little bit to the side. and you resolve to prayerfully work through them, perhaps one at a time, rather than all seven at the same time, with a trusted listener who can help you with trauma healing. This has been very helpful for some people who are overwhelmed with multiple traumas. Perhaps you experienced no loss or trauma at all. You're saying, Wes, you are just so irrelevant to me. Perhaps you feel fine. That's okay too. You may now be in a position to be more sensitive to the needs of others who are traumatized by being a good listener. Listener. And helping. If you try to help somebody and you find 80% of the words in the conversation are coming out of your mouth, it's unlikely you're being helpful. Trust me. I've had people try to help me. It's not helpful. Listener. In my own experience, I have found several passages of Scripture to be enormously helpful. Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. In our community, there are many griefs. Jesus has already carried them and continues to carry them, even if it doesn't feel that way. In our community, there are many sorrows. Jesus has already carried those. It's done. And he continues to carry those. And you are the vehicle through which that carrying can often be best communicated to people in need. And by his stripes, that means the torture, crucifixion that Jesus went through, by his stripes we are healed. The immediate reference here is our spiritual healing. He forgives our sins, promise of eternal life. But I believe there's also significant reference here to substantial healing that can happen even while we are here on earth. Physical healing, emotional healing, trauma healing. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. This single verse sustained me more than anything else. I believed it, but I didn't feel it. And the Lord, through the truth of his word in this verse, sustained me through some very, very dark days. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." What a beautiful verse. Horatio Spafford was a prominent Chicago lawyer who lost his one and only son. Then he lost his home and his property in the Great Chicago Fire. He sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to Europe, hoping that they would get some rest and hoping to enjoy them later. The ship went down, and Spafford received a telegram from his wife. Just two words, safe, alone. All of their daughters had perished. Out of this enormous tragedy, as Spafford took a ship to Europe to join his wife, he penned the lyrics that we are about to sing. We will first close with a prayer, and then we will sing, "It Is Well With My Soul," the text that Spafford penned. If any of you have a desire with Kim or myself or with any member of Samaritan's team, please join us either at the frontier or on the lawn outside. If any of you have questions for the Samaritan's Purse team, or you simply want to welcome them, or if you want one of them to pray with you or one of us to pray with you. Please join us on the lawn area just outside this door. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Healer, we bow before you in adoration and praise, knowing that you hold all things together by your powerful hand. You are sovereign. You are Lord. We thank you that you have given to us the privilege and responsibility of being your children, and as your children, being your hands as we have opportunity to serve others. May we be faithful. Keep us from selfishness. Allow us to be generous. Keep us from seeing only our own needs, and allow us to see the needs of others. Keep us from talking when we can and should listen. We thank you, Lord, that healing ultimately comes from you, and we ask for healing for our community as a whole and for individuals here. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?